It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Morena Desley Simpson, are you there?
I'm there, Morena, to you too.
Good morning.
Welcome to your new role.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Desley.
Lovely to meet you over the phone.
Yep.
Indeed, Millie. Yeah, hi to you too. Yeah. Lovely. What a weird morning, eh?
I know.
Pretty foggy.
Pretty foggy, and then yesterday was pretty lightning-y, thundery.
Oh.
Hey, but that's Auckland.
This is climate change, right? This is the new normal. You know, you just don't know what to expect, and it's really challenging. But, you know, it has good things and bad things about it. And yep. I tell you what, I love the warmth that is supposed to be our winter at the moment.
It's pretty nice. It is pretty nice, not going to lie.
It was balmy this morning.
I thought we'd start off by talking about last week you announced that you won't be running against Mayor Brown, but you two will be running again together for this year's local election. Could you tell us the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, look, I'm actually going to stand again as ward councillor for the Ōrākei ward. That's a job I've had for a while. I love it. I love the community that I represent. Look, I did consider standing for the mayoralty, but there are two things. One is when you put your hand up for the mayor, you've got to sort of say, well, what would I do differently? What would my policies or what would Aucklanders expect to get that is different from whoever else is standing, right? That is kind of the real big thing. And when I looked at what Mayor Brown has done this term and what he wants to do because he wants to stand again, noting that he wasn't going to stand for two terms, remember? Mm, he was only going to do one term.
Totally.
The actual content of what he wanted to do, I support. You know, one of the big things is bringing in CCOs. They're called council-controlled organisations, which is a bit of an oxymoron, really.
Mm.
They are independent groups, and they do things with their own boards. And when we've looked at some of the content of what they've been doing, we've actually found quite a few issues along with that. And so, people are complaining about some of the things that Auckland Transport does. But who do you blame? Who can you challenge? Who can you get to fix that? And if it's completely independent and completely done under a different sort of whole structure, it's very difficult to change.
Totally.
Yet if you bring a lot of these things inside the organisation, you are at least on top of, well, theoretically, you know, what's happening, where, when, and how, and actually can influence it. And then so elected members can be held more, you know, responsible for that. And that was a really big part. So that and the other bit, because money's my gig, right? I actually really like saving money and you know, I think in the last 3 years, we're already over $400 million that we've saved, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So saving money and doing things differently, he's quite... As an engineer, I suppose, I mean, he gets right into the weeds of projects. You know, why did this cost so much? It should never have cost so much. It could have easily been done this way. And, of course, if you look around his skills, you know, he's brought things into the Port of Auckland. He's made residential development. He's built roads. He's put pipes under the ground. He's done a lot privately that we as a council do. And so I kind of thought, well, I do believe in what you want to do. I want to be part of that. How you do it, in other words, you know, your language and your personality can be a bit, you know, out there, not necessarily
pretty
enough,
out there,
in a good
pretty
way.
Out there.
It's not necessarily a good way. I mean, sometimes you never know what you know, you never die sort of thinking what he really thinks. But I just kind of thought, well, content is more important, and I can support him by doing more kind of in the PR space and the media space.
So what you're saying is you're a good team. You're a good team.
I believe so. I really do, Tuvah. I really do. I think that his strengths, his weaknesses are my strengths, and that's what makes a good team.
Yeah, and so it had nothing to do with potentially if you maybe ran for mayor, it might split the vote or anything like that. That didn't come across your mind.
Yeah, there's a lot of conjecture around that. You know, people say if you split the vote, you'd split the vote on the right. And then just as many people were saying, please stand for there. We don't want that lefty in the, you know, standing for... So, which kind of means he really is either neither one nor the other.
Yeah.
So, I've seen him be pro left and right, so I don't think he really fits into a box from that perspective. Mm. No.
So obviously the election is later on in the year, it's just a few months away. And you know, anyone can put their name forward to run for local board or councillor or even mayor. Why should people put their names forward for some of these roles?
Oh, look, it's probably one of the best jobs you'll ever have. I mean, you, if you put your hand up for Auckland Council, you can really shape how your community operates. Mm. You know, there are kind of three big jobs, right? A local board member is really important for local community stuff. You know, you're responsible for your local parks, your local playgrounds, your local environmental initiatives, you know, your local business districts, you're a liaison with them. It's a great job being on the local board. You know, being able to determine whether or not you should have a new bus, a shelter somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's part-time and you get paid for it. And it's, if you love your community and you really want to put your hand up and you really feel that, you know, you could make a difference in the governance of your local area, that is such a great job to have. Yeah. And look, we have only over, 200 ethnicities living in our great city.
Yeah.
And so if you look at your community, you know, is your cultural group represented, you know?
Mm.
Do you feel that, you know, those people governing our city represent all the elements of what makes a great city? So I think that's sort of a local board member. Ward councillor is full-time, pretty much full-time.
Yeah.
And that's really supposed to be a more regional view over the city as a whole, you know? But having said that, you're elected from a ward, and some wards are elected by themselves, like me, and some wards are elected with two people. For example, you know, from Waitaka, but more the west area, they have two councillors from that area.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great job too. I mean, I love sitting around the table. They're the big decisions, big policy decisions, and then of course there's the mayor that's up for grabs as well.
Yeah. You know? If let's say you're listening to this and you're thinking, oh, I will run for local.
I've got things to fix.
I got things that I want to fix. You know, how do people do it? Where do you go if you want to sign up? Or,
well, I think the best website ever is Vote Auckland. That's a great website. It's got all the information on it. It's got the dates. I mean, you have to be a New Zealand citizen, so just remember that. You've got to be a New Zealand citizen, and you've got to be over 18 years old, and you've got to be enrolled on the electoral roll.
Yep.
So that's kind of the only criteria. But Vote Auckland is the most amazing website. It's got all the information you need, including a candidate handbook. So it almost steps you through everything you need to do. Talks about, you know, key dates. Like, you could announce now that you're interested in standing. I mean, I have, for example.
Yeah.
But actually, officially, no one can put a nomination in until next month. They open on the 4th of July and they close, I think it's the 1st of August.
Yeah.
So that gives people a month. But look, get out there, have a look who's already there. Are they doing a good job? What have they achieved? Do you think you can do better? Do you think you've got people in your community that would support you if you put your hand up? Why would they do that? Why would they want to see you on, for example, a local board? But look, I think it's great, and I just encourage as many people as possible to put their hand up. It's a great job. I love it.
Fantastic.
Cool. Thanks, Desley.
Now, we want to talk a little bit about sort of some of the future use of storm-affected land in Auckland. So Auckland Council was making one of the largest land acquisitions undertaken in New Zealand. They're going to be buying up, well, you guys are going to be buying up 1,200 high-risk Auckland properties that are on storm-affected land. How much is this going to cost for ratepayers?
A lot.
A lot.
look, it's you know, over $1 billion. And, of course, it was done with the government after the 2023 storms. Yeah. I mean, we had the, you know, a most amazing series of events hit Auckland in 2023. I think I'll go to my grave remembering that time. It was a horrible time. But look, what we've done is said, look, we now know that there are parts of our wonderful region that really are just not safe to live in, right?
Yes.
And so we did this deal with the government that we'd go out and buy these properties that were deemed to be unsafe, that they were not suitable, the homes were not suitable to live in anymore, all right, Category 3. But that doesn't mean that we'll just own that land and do nothing with it. We know that about half of those Category 3 projects could be used for public resilience and infrastructure projects to prevent storm mitigation. So we can do something to that land, we think, to fix it up long term, to help future flooding. But we also think that some of the land, if we do some work to it, we'll be able to sell it, and that other things will be able to happen to it. For example, we could sell it, for example, to neighbouring properties for a bigger backyard. You know, you might not be able to build on it, but you could kind of veggie garden on it, or, you know, put a tramp on it, or, you know. There's all sorts of things that we could do. We want to be able to bring a return back if we can. The other thing is, if it had a designation on it that it was sort of, for example, known to flood, but if you wanted to build something on it, as long as no living was in the bottom, and you know, that's another option. So we're looking at all sorts of things. We're also looking at some sort of community good. For example, we could do film sets on it, or fire and police training on it, community uses on it. And we'll also be talking to the community around those properties about what they would like to see happen. For example, you know, do they want it as a neighbour park? Do they want it as something special? You know, so come and tell us what you think. What you think that, you know, that piece of land could be used for? And there's a special way to have your say. It's a special of interest register. In other words, if you just sort of Google future use of storm affected land, it will come up all the properties, and you'll be able to say, actually, you know, we'd love another park here, or a bit of green space here, because, you know, because. So we'll be asking local board members for their views as well as the community, you know, going forward. Yeah. So some of it we'll use, and we'll just keep as open space for different things. Some of it potentially it could be mitigated, so it can be used for people to live on it. It will just depend, site by site.
Is there a risk assessment for the ones that you are considering selling on? Like, it would be an awful shame if you sold something, a piece of land, to someone who could be, you know, impacted by that down the line.
Oh, Millie, no. You know, I think we've been there, done that, got the T-shirt. You know, we had geotech engineers in there to check in the first place. So if we were, but that's a really good question, Millie. I think if we were going to sell it on for future housing use, it might be that there is no way you'd ever build at the bottom of that section, but you could build at the top, or vice versa, you know?
Right.
So they will have, you know, they'll have quite detailed information around that. But that's a really good question.
Yeah. And this will be case by case, right?
Yep. Cool. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are 1,200 properties, and, it, you know, as Rachel Hunter said, it won't happen overnight, but it will happen. It's taken a lot of time to get to this place anyway, and it will also, you know, it won't happen immediately. The case-by-case going through 1,200 properties will take a while.
Totally. It will take a long time, and by the sounds of things, a lot of money. I have another question regarding the houses where their value has been affected by potential flooding or water ingress or anything like that. Does the council have a plan to help those people that not necessarily are, you know, red or yellow stickered, but have flooded? Is there a plan going forward for them?
Look, there are things that you can do yourself on your property. Yeah. To assist around insurance and things like that. But look, I think Aucklanders have had a bit of a wake-up call, full stop, on flooding, you know?
Totally.
And it's quite a tricky thing to get your head around. from a land use and unsafe to live perspective, we know where that is.
Yes.
But
yeah.
there are people who will continue to have flooding issues and
yes.
will have to mitigate that with their insurance companies. And that mm-hmm. can be quite expensive for homeowners. But at the end of the day, I think it's about individual responsibility for your home and your discussions with your insurance company. We're there to help. You
yes.
know, we're there to help if you need us. But, I mean, we're not here as the underwriter for every property in Auckland.
No, totally. And, you know, we wouldn't expect you to do that. I guess as the council, in terms of this flooding, it affected a lot of people. I guess what we expect is, are you, in the long term, have plans for kind of, you know, better drainage systems to avoid this happening again?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what our big Making Space for Water programs are, you know, there to do.
Yes.
We've got a huge amount of, you know, millions and millions of dollars invested mm. in that program. You add that to the $3.8 million a day, $3.8 million a day
Ooh.
That Watercare are about to spend on water infrastructure as well
yeah.
come the 1st of July.
Okay.
And yes, we're gearing up to do some
yeah.
significant infrastructure investment.
And I guess we appreciate the fact that it wasn't built in a day, but, you know, just for people who have been affected, which was a lot of Auckland, like more
mm.
than I would ever have thought of. Yeah, it's just good to know that there is something going forward. Thank you, Desley.
No worries, Molly. Okay, well, you have a very good day, you too, and
you
welcome
too.
To your
you
new
too,
job.
Desley.
Thank you. We'll talk to you next time. Cheers,
talk
Desley.
To you later. Okay.
Bye. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Yes,
it
thank
sure
you
was.
So much, Desley.
Thanks, Desley.
And thank you for all your texts
yeah,
about
you.
That. And yeah, let us know 5395 if you have any thoughts. On that interview.
We've
and
had some good musings already. Everyone's mind is just waking up.
100%. So, yeah, thank you for those who have texted in so far. We're going to go to a little ad break now, but we'll be back very shortly.